Welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Boer. I'm the teaching pastor at the Delaware campus. And this past Sunday, we were actually at the Delaware campus, not meeting in person. We just gathered online or took the opportunity to visit other campuses. Our facility is under renovation here for a couple of Sundays. And so I'm actually going to just share with you from at our other campuses. We continued on in our playlist series, but I'm just going to share with you a little bit from my own personal devotional time with the Lord. So I'm reading through the Old Testament right now. Both my wife and I are reading through the Old Testament. Great plan from the Bible Project. If you have the YouVersion Bible app, you can find it. It's the Bible Project Old Testament in a Year, and had it recommended to me from a friend of mine, from a life group leader here at the church, and just really it's been a great plan. And I just finished up 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel. I'm into 1 Kings now. And a lot of that has to do with David's life and story, King David. And I have read the story and the life of King David many times in my life. I started reading that when I was a young boy. And I just was always pretty fascinated by the stories in the Old Testament. But reading through it this time, I don't know if it's the stage of life I'm in, or maybe a little bit more spiritual maturity in me, or just maybe seeing a little bit more of life these days. But reading it, I found the story in some ways much more sad than I have in the past, and also pointing more poignantly toward Christ and toward hope than maybe in the past. Oftentimes, I think when I read David's story in the past, You certainly see the good moments, and that's often what gets celebrated and highlighted, the slaying of Goliath and the good moments where he escapes from Saul and he shows such kindness to Saul, where he loves Saul even though Saul is trying to kill him, right? And he spares Saul's life. And then comes the episode with Bathsheba, where he just terribly abuses his power. And he just does awful, awful things. And I mean, that always struck me before as awful. But it hit me with new force this time. And then everything that happens after it also hit me with new force. How David's, the consequences, God forgives David. And he says, right, that you will not die, right? He has forgiven you. He's taken away your sin. But the consequences of his decision, I mean, his family unravels in a lot of ways from that time forward. His decisions really mattered. And he still somehow is called a man after God's own heart. But there are some patterns in David's life where he does not, he doesn't step in and parent his children and stand up to his sons. And I don't know if that's because he felt guilty from what he did in the past, didn't feel like he could address that with his sons. I mean, one of his sons ends up doing some of the very same things that he did. And then another son murders that son. And then his son creates a civil war against him. He has to flee. And then another son tries to take over the kingdom without his permission. I mean, it's just, it's really pretty awful in a lot of ways. And you kind of close out the story of David. And there's a bit of a redemptive moment where he does stand up to one of his sons, and he tells Solomon, right, no, you're going to be king, and he does intervene. He's not passive in that moment. But you still kind of come to the end of David's life, and there's much good, but there's a lot of heartache. There's a lot of brokenness, and there's a lot of, you see, man, David he's considered, I mean, perhaps the greatest king in the history of Israel. We celebrate David in a lot of ways. And yet he fell so short of God's standard. And I think it's a reminder to us that's true of all of us. And certainly we don't have to make the same mistakes that David did. I pray that we don't. But I think it's a reminder to us. David's life, you end reading about David's life saying, we need a better king. As good of a king as he was in some ways, we need a better, more righteous, more just, more loving, more kind, more perfect king. And I think it points us to what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 3, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us, David, you, me, and are justified by his grace. All of us who have trusted Christ are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. I read that, I see David's life, I see my own life and failures, and I think, God, thank you so much that you sent Jesus to be perfect where we are not, and to do the things that we could not, to live for us the life that we could not live, and to take in our place the death that we deserved. And Jesus, thank you for new life through you by faith. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you so loved us that you gave your only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus, thank you that you gave your life for us on the cross, and through your resurrection, we can have new life as well. Jesus, thank you for paying for our sins, for healing our wounds, for mending our brokenness, and for giving us new life. We thank you for your Spirit. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take some time today, right now, just to reflect, to thank God, and to pray.